right, here we go back into it. It's the last debate tonight. Kristen Welker, of course, from NBC News, a well-known person, antagonist of the president, to be kind. She also has the mute button. I don't know if she controls the mute button or how that works, or if they just have somebody that runs over and puts duct tape over the mouth of Joe Biden or the president, however that works. Of course, they changed the lineup and the discussion points as well. Liz Peek joining us from Fox News. Always good to have you here, Liz. How are you today?
Good morning. Well, I'm apprehensive and also excited in equal measure, looking forward to tonight's debate.
We'll see what happens. Obviously, the president is going to mention Hunter Biden and the laptop. New reporting from Fox News, the Wall Street Journal, and others. It's a legitimate investigation involving potentially money laundering, potentially child sex violations and child pornography indications on this computer. But is he best served spending his time there, or should he be talking about the economy? He'll have 12 minutes uninterrupted, apparently, for the six topics, so he'll get 2 minutes times six. How should he use that time?
I think he's going to be irresistible to talk about the Hunter Biden China Joe Biden scandal, because that's really what it is. And there's plenty of proof now, and I would call it proof that this existed. This is not disinformation. This is a real thing that took place, and it really is. It should be extremely worrisome. We know from the FBI that China is considered our greatest long-term threat. We know from our intelligence agencies that they are working on behalf of Biden in this campaign. You put those two things together with all the information we now know about pretty sordid business deals in China and, by the way, elsewhere that we don't even know the full extent of yet. I think Trump has to raise this, but he should raise it in such a way, and I think he probably will, that puts some of the blame on the media for not exposing and reporting on it. And in my view, he has to have sort of a light touch with Joe Biden. This story needs to get out. I think really it is getting out, thanks to your good offices and many other people working on it. But I think what I really want to see tonight from Trump is I want him to talk to the American people about his accomplishments in office, and particularly the economy, and remind them that in December and January of this past year, you know, they were very well off. Incomes had gone up almost 7%. Almost everyone who wanted a job had a job, no matter what. People who were felons and the disabled and all kinds of categories of people who historically have not had a good time finding a job were employed. That is pretty powerful. And the good news is it is happening again. The recovery underway today is very strong, very V-shaped. And I don't think really people know that because, honestly, even on the economic front, the media reporting is so unbelievably pro-Biden that
they've
tried to talk down the economy at every turn. It's just astonishing.
I think that it is remarkable. But in new polling, I think it was Gallup that I saw, 51% of Americans believe there was a conflict of interest with Joe Biden and his dealings with Hunter. This is at a time when Twitter and Facebook are trying to silence the entire conversation. But now, like I say, with the Wall Street Journal and Fox and others coming out, you can't silence the whole world on this. It is getting out. But with 40 million people having voted already, will it make a big impact? I don't know the answer to that, Liz. I don't know if this revelations, even if it's child pornography or dirty deals, or even if he is cutting the big guy in for a piece of the action, does it move the needle?
The only thing I'd say, first of all, what I also would like to say about Trump tonight is I want him to come across as likable. I think in the first debate, the big problem to me was he was so unlikable. He was bullying and belligerent. And, you know, some people who were real advocates of the president said, well, he had to be really strong to face down Biden. You don't have to be too very strong to face down Biden. Biden is a very weak person in many respects. Trump, you know, to all of us, he can be funny. He can be actually even charming. And
right.
He needs to show that to American people. So everybody's saying, well, 40 million people have voted. Could this possibly make a difference? If people are tuning in, it's because they're interested. Not everyone has voted. And if he comes across in a light, let's face it, that the mainstream media never shows him in, that is agreeable, funny, self-deprecating even, et cetera, yeah, some people watching are going to say, huh, this is not the Trump I've been told about.
Right.
And at least what they might do if they're a Biden supporter if this stuff about the laptop is aired and if Trump comes across as more agreeable, they might say, hey, you know, I'm better off than I was 4 years ago.
Sure.
56% of the country thinks that. Maybe I just won't go vote for Biden.
Yeah, 56% believe they're better off than they were 4 years ago. And here's the other thing. You look at the polling, you'd have to believe that Joe Biden's not only going to do better than Barack Obama in 2008, but he's going to double his performance. And that's just not going to happen. Barack Obama won by, what, 7.3%. Some of these polling, it's 14, 15 points. It's absurd. The IBD tip poll continues to be the most believable, 2.3%. When I looked yesterday, I believe, the separation nationally, they've just started keeping track. That sounds about right to me. I see Florida slightly favoring Trump. I see North Carolina very much a toss-up, a tie in Pennsylvania. I think that this is a race that the Democrats are desperately trying to tell you that Joe Biden has already won, when they know, in fact, that Trump will carry Florida and Georgia and North Carolina. So your questions come back to Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and maybe Minnesota. I just looked at a brand new number there that the Senate race in Minnesota is tied. Unbelievable.
Yeah, I agree. Tied. And by the way, Ohio, I think, is going for Trump.
Of course it is.
So I don't think the race is over. And I think, by the way, that they kind of presented it as a done deal. He's won, no contest. And then a couple of weeks ago, they began looking at these polls tightening and thought, uh-oh, if our voters don't go vote because they think that this is a done deal, you know, and they started to reverse that messaging. I don't know if you've seen that. But
oh, they have. They said go to the polls, in
fact.
That's
right.
And in Michigan.
You know, and by the way, as somebody pointed out, that Barack Obama was sent to inner city Philadelphia to a rally yesterday.
That's unusual.
Pardon?
Yeah, that's unusual, isn't it? Why would you go to inner city Philadelphia?
I think it's a real red flag, because I think what the problem is, they know that they've got a problem with black voters, and the problem isn't older women black voters. They're going to vote for Biden 99%, but young black voters and men in particular are not. And
that's
I think that's what Obama's chore was yesterday. Whether he was successful or not, who knows?
Yeah.
But I think there's a feeling in the demo, and by the way, the attendees at these Trump rallies are interesting. I mean, it's a big number. I think over 25% are non-registered Republicans. A lot of them are first-time voters, and a lot are minorities.
True on every level. Some of the rallies I've seen, that as many as half are not Republicans.
Yeah.
And 30% didn't vote the last time around. And I want to point to that, Liz, because here's what I've heard, and we can talk about this real quick. It's the undervote. Remember the undervote from 2016, when you had 200,000 people that didn't vote for president in Michigan, a larger number in Pennsylvania, and all the pundits are like, why is that? They voted all the way down the ballot, didn't vote for president. I'm hearing from people that did not vote for either candidate in 16, says, I didn't because I didn't trust Trump. Now I'm voting for Trump. I hear that a lot. Your thoughts, I'll give you the last word.
Well, I think, look, he's got a record to run on. The record is elegant and really impressive. And I think Biden's done a very good job of trying to make this all about COVID. But I think any rational person knows that COVID is not Trump's fault. And, in fact, we need someone like Trump to get us out of this ditch that we're in.
In fact, in Michigan, with the big crackdowns and lockdowns in the last 3 days, we've had record, all-time record COVID numbers in Michigan over the last 3 days. Liz Peek, greatly appreciate it. I'm sure we'll talk after the debate.
Enjoy it.
Thank you very much. Liz Peek, one of my favorites, as you all know. And a quick break here on a Thursday. You are in the No Panic Zone. We'll be right back.
When today is unpredictable, you need sound advice and strong support to help you stay focused on your long-term financial goals for tomorrow. Ameriprise has been guiding clients through challenging times for over 125 years. You can take comfort in working with an advisor who's backed by that strong experience and who's there to guide you with personalized, goal-based financial advice. Together, you and your Ameriprise advisor can plan your future while navigating your now. Call me, Ameriprise Financial Advisor Craig Stiles, today at 517-483-4893. That's 517-483-4893. Office is located at 2400 Lake Lansing Road, Suite B, Lansing, Michigan, 48912. Ameriprise Financial Services, LLC, member FINRA and SIPC.
Hello, Car of Teenagers. If you don't mind, I'm only going to broadcast this out of the speaker on the passenger side so we can talk without the driver listening in. Okay, now that we're alone, we can talk about your friend's driving. It's okay, he can't hear us. Now, I'd never say this to his face, but he might be the worst driver in the history of the world. You should say something, something witty. Make a joke about the airbag or something. Hearses are funny, too. You could make a joke about hearses. I better say something to the driver real quick so he doesn't get suspicious that we're talking about him. Still talking to the passenger. Not about you at all. Just going to be one more minute. He is totally going to get you killed.
Find other interesting ways to speak up against reckless driving by visiting our website at speakuporelse.com. Because it doesn't matter what you say, just say something. Brought to you by the Ad Council and speakuporelse.com.